I cannot tell you how much I've learned myself in the past 3 weeks about what the love of God is really in my life to me. And such an easy topic, you know, love, you know, God, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. And yet, when we started learning about it, when I started researching and Pastor was pouring the Word of God into us, I was like, wow, this love, it's so deep, it's so big, it's larger than life. It's, the more I get into it, I'm like, God, I don't think I can take it in. I don't think I can ever understand the whole thing. And it just means so much more to me. So today I will try to explain and take out as much as I have in my heart. But more than that, I want God to take out of his heart and put it today in our hearts. I'm going to be starting with scripture that's in Jeremiah 31:3. And I want this scripture throughout the whole service to stay on there as much as possible, and I want you to read it, and hopefully this will become the scripture that you will memorize, and this will become the scripture when you feel that you need that kick in your life, that you need that, you need to hear from God. I hope you'll remember this verse, and it's going to bring you joy. Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Other translation says kindness. I keep on pouring my kindness on you. And we learned about three types of love. There are love needs that we have. Everybody has those love needs. It's a need for a parent love. We need to be loved by our parents. It's a need for friendship. We need to have a friend and know that they have our back and we can just come and talk to them. And we need a romantic love. The whole world is searching for it. And the more I started thinking about it and going through the Bible and going in my head, I saw that God's love is a sum of all the three loves, the most beautiful. If you take the most beautiful thing out of each of those three loves and you sum it together and you sprinkle it or you dip it in eternity and multiply it by billions, that's going to be compare to God's love. But in short, this is what it is. It's friendship. God is a friend to us. We see many scriptures where God calls Abraham. He says, he's my friend. And then we see Adam just taking a walk. You know, when it's cooled down during the day, every day God would show up and they're just taking a walk in a park and talking, just like friends do. And then don't let me get started on Father, where God throughout the Bible, he says, I am your Father. And when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, what? How do you pray? Our Master, right? Our King, our Lord who are in heaven. No, he said, our Father. So we know that God wants us to know that he's our Father. And we can count on that love, fatherly love from him. But today I want to talk more about the romantic love. And boys and guys, bear with me, okay? Because a lot of times it's a little bit hard. You know, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. And for a guy, it's like, for a girl, it's like, oh, that's so romantic. I'm the bride of Christ. But for a guy, it's like, okay, no, that's awkward. You know, I don't see myself even in heaven wearing a veil. And that's just weird, you know? So, but it says that in the Bible. So it's a symbol. It's a symbol. But today I want to talk about the romantic love God has for us and how strong it is. And the story starts in Hosea, and I don't want you to put it on just yet. Wait until I tell you to put it on. In Hosea, in the whole book of Hosea, he's a young man. He's a man who, from his childhood, he decided that he wants to be a servant of God. And he wants to dedicate his life to be used by God. However, God wants him to use him. And so he said, Lord, use me. Whatever you want, I am yours. How many of us have ever done that? You know, Lord, please use me. I am in your hand. Yes, right there. We have honest people in here. Like, please. And we usually, you know what? We usually have a picture in our head how God is going to use us. And it's going to be magnificent. It's going to be awesome. And so this young man, he probably tried to live a very righteous life, separating himself from the things of this world, reading his scripture, memorizing his scripture, praying, getting closer to God. And so one day God looked at him, he said, okay, I think you're ready. I think you're ready to do this, boy. You're ready. He said, yes, Lord, I am. And so God came to him, and this is what he told him. His first assignment was, can we put Hosea chapter 1, 2, verse 2. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, to Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. Say what? You want me to do what? No, 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 not have a one-night stand with a prostitute, because I know a lot of boys would get excited about that. No, go marry a prostitute. Go, you pure man who's been sacrificing everything in your life, sacrificing your fleshly desires, you've been trying to keep them down. Go and take a woman and come into a covenant with her forever that's been with hundreds of men for money. That doesn't have any self-worth anymore to her body. That doesn't appreciate her body. That doesn't probably appreciate life anymore. It doesn't mean anything. You know how many times prostitutes get their life in danger? And they know they're going to be in danger, but it's going to be a good paycheck. So they're like, even in modern day, you know, I've seen Oprah, I've seen Dr. Phil, and they'll be talking to them. They say, yeah, it's dangerous sometimes, but it's good money. So that there is no value to their life anymore. And so this young man, he was like, I saw myself preaching to hundreds of people. What do you, go marry a prostitute? Why would I do that? And God said, Jose, if you want to serve me, I want to do something very, very important through you. I want to draw a picture through your life with this prostitute. That would be sacrificial. You would sacrifice yourself for me. But I want to draw a picture of my love for my people. Would you do that? Would you be the symbol of my love? Well, okay, I guess. How do you even propose to a prostitute? You know, do you need a ring? Do you need a rose? You know, I don't know. So I don't know how it all went. He went in. You know, I don't know what situation the prostitute was in. Maybe she was, you know, a lot of times they are in danger, and a lot of times there's a lot of drama going on with pimps, and maybe she saw that as a way out. And maybe she said, you know what, this is my way out. I really don't have to, you know, stay with him or whatever, but this is my way out. And so she was like, girls, I'm getting married, you know. And so he brings her into his house. And he shows her around, and he treats her with respect. And he says, well, this is our bedroom. This is our kitchen. This is where you're going to be doing laundry and all that good stuff. And she's like, half of the stuff I don't know how to use. You know, I've never used stuff before. Why is he so nice to me? You know, this is the first man that was ever, you know, well, hold on. I know what he wants, you know. I know what he wants. We're going to get to bedroom and, you know. And they got to the bedroom. Okay, I'm painting a picture for you, okay? And he just said, take your time, you know, whatever. I love you and I want to love you, but if you're not comfortable, take your time. And so this woman, she stayed there for a while. They had three kids together. But she never quite fit in. She never quite understood this love that he has. Every time he would look at her, and his eyes were so pure and just filled with love and nothing else, she would feel, why in the world would you love me? I wasted myself. I have nothing to give you of myself anymore. Why are you so nice to me? And, you know, a lot of times there is reasons why, you know, those women choose lifestyles like that. Sometimes it's out of their choice. It's not their choice. Sometimes their, you know, family has a lot of kids and they need money and they say, well, you go work, you know, you have to work your way. You have to put food on the table. Sometimes girls are abused and sexually abused by their own parents when they're little in their own home. And that strips them of value, that strips them of understanding and worth of themselves. And they go and they punish that person who abused them. And they say, I will have sex as many times with whoever I can to hurt you. And I don't know what was the reason, but we know that she couldn't handle it. She just couldn't handle being, she would walk outside her house and see all these wives and children playing nicely together. And she would look at herself and, I'm just different. I just don't fit in. I don't fit in here. And so she ran away from him. And today, how many of us have ever done it? We would come to church. We would come in assembly of Christian, of believers. And we feel so good right away. We feel like, you know, our heart is pumping. And we feel like, okay, I finally found something inside of me became alive. I finally found something, somewhere I belong. I found somebody who loves me. And then, you come for 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, you know, month, years. I've had people told me years, and they would come and say, nothing has changed. I haven't changed at all. You know, when I came here so many years ago, so many months ago, so many weeks ago, I'm still the same. Nothing is happening. And I would look at them and I would be like, are you kidding me? So much has changed in you. Maybe you can't see. Well, my friends don't see anything. Well, maybe they can't see, but I know that there's so much change on the inside of you. It's like a seed. When it's planted, you can't see what's going on. And a farmer would be a very bankrupt farmer if he planted a field of corn and then he said, well, in 2 weeks, nothing is there. It's not working. Well, I'm just going to plow the whole field and just kind of erase it. And, you know, bam, it's not working. And he would go bankrupt right away. He wouldn't be a farmer. No, he knows that while he can't see anything, there's something very important going on underneath. You know, we have a full world of people, walking people who are like, well, I've tried that church stuff. You know, I've been there and nothing has helped me. How long were you there? Oh, I gave it a try, you know, whatever. 2 weeks, you know, 2 months. That's not long enough. God just doesn't work like that. He's just not gonna create a monster. You're growing. You started as a seed and you're growing. And He loves you so much. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And He's never gonna give up on you. But sometimes we just give up way too soon. Sometimes we just want the miracle. We just want for God to just, right here, right now, heal me, change me, make me better, you know, heal my family, improve my lifestyle, and show me yourself. But I personally don't know many people who told me, well, in one day, God just got me, I was free from everything I've ever struggled with. Personally, in my life, it was only coffee, and even by coffee was just a mistake. It was very natural. At one point I understood that coffee's taking over my life. Can I hear an amen from some people in here? So, and I just noticed it's taking over my life. I'm walking like a zombie, you know, like if I don't have any coffee. And then by 3, I'm dying. I have to have some coffee. And I was like, okay, this is not right. This is controlling me. So I need to quit. And I tried quitting, and it was so hard. Because, you know, it's like drugs. And no, seriously. I had headaches. I had, you know, my body would hurt. I just couldn't function. I would walk around and not bump into things, but, you know, really say things that I didn't mean. And then one day I was in a hurry. I needed to buy some more coffee because people were coming over to my house. And I just grabbed this new blend. Wow, new blend. I grabbed it, put it in my cupboard. And so we're drinking coffee with my sister. I'm like, huh, this is really weird. It's not kicking in. You know, like my eyes are not opening wide yet. That's weird. Coffee should kick in right now. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm having a great time. Next morning, we're drinking coffee. It's not doing anything to me. Next morning, and I had a thought in the back of my head. That's weird. I'm not receiving the thing, you know, from coffee. And then she left, and I kept on drinking that coffee. And then one day, I was like, I haven't had any coffee today. I feel just fine. That's weird. I should go drink it just because, you know, like. And then I go and I look at the package, and it's decaf. And I'm like, God, really? Really? That's okay. You know, but even then, it was so natural. You know, I could have done it by myself, too. I could have bought a decaf coffee and just, you know, drink it. And even then, I knew that I can go back. I can overdose again and go back to being addicted. And I had to put my work in and be like, okay, one cup a day is enough, or two not so strong coffee anymore as I used to drink. But change is a seed, and God working you is a seed. And it starts growing, and if you give it enough time, it will grow into something very beautiful, something very majestic, something that you are going to enjoy, and everybody around you is going to enjoy that. But God takes His time. He really does. I remember when, some of you know this story, some of you don't, I'm going to share it again. I remember when He was working on me personally, it took a year. Since I could remember, when I got to the point where girls start to think a certain way about themselves, you know, they know that they're pretty or they're not pretty. They know that something is wrong with them or something is not wrong with them. So since I started understanding what beauty is, I started to really hate some things about myself. One of the things was my nose. It was just always too big, too long, and too pointy. I always found something where, like, I would never let people take a picture of me, you know, profile where you could see how big my nose is. And then I hated my hair. I could not stand my hair. My hair is really curly and kind of unruly. It just goes everywhere if I don't straighten it. And back then we didn't have any straightener, so I hated my hair. And there was a lot of body parts about myself that I wish they were a little more proportionate. Let's say it like that. So with that, there was a man who fell in love with me, asked me to marry him. So I did. Still not liking myself. Had some kids. Were called into ministry. Ministry is all about people. Ministry is all about loving and serving people. Well, if you don't love yourself, there is no way you're going to love people. So this is what happened to me. I would be snappy. I would be, well, why are they looking at me like that? And why did she say that? And why? And I was so insecure. And that insecurity drove people away from me. And here I know, I'm supposed to be helping my husband. And we're in this ministry and people don't like me. You think I'm bad now? Oh my goodness. I was horrible. It all came out of this disgust with myself. And I thought that everybody's looking at my flaws and thinking only about my flaws, which is like, really? You're so consumed with yourself. And then one day I said, God, it's enough. I can't do this anymore. This is too much. This is too hard. And I'm not accomplishing anything. Can you please help me? And he said, well, if you're ready to work with me, I will help you. And he took his time. He really took his time. He didn't take away my insecurity like that. He just little by little started ministering to me. And he started telling me, you need to start seeing yourself through my eyes. I'm like, well, what is that? And so I cannot begin to tell you how many amazing stories I have and how many people. God used scripture. God used preachers. God used books. God used un-Christian people who totally didn't hear his voice, didn't want to do anything with him to minister to me. And one of the very strong stories that I still remember really strongly was I was shopping for a cowboy hat. You know, it was 2006, and cowboy hats, you know, those sun hats, cowboy hats just came into the room, and they were the big thing, and all the blonde, perfect little girls, you know, wore it. And I just had two kids, gained a lot of weight. And so we're going to this camp, and I'm like, I need to go find myself a cowboy hat. I need to be young. So here I am in a department store. I'm looking for a cowboy hat. I'm trying it on, and I hear this voice somewhere over here. I hear a voice. And, you know, when you hear God, he touches your heart. He doesn't touch your ears. He touches you so deep. And my heart started to pump really hard and really fast and really loud. I was afraid the whole store heard me. And he said, this voice started telling me, what are you doing? What are you doing putting this hat on? You're so much more than this. What are you trying to go back to 16 again? You're a young, intelligent woman. You have so much wisdom. And so this voice was just keep on telling me how precious and how I shouldn't be trying to be something I'm not, but should become who I am and be happy with it. And I was absolutely positively sure I'm going to turn around. There's going to be angels standing, you know, like beautiful, amazing angel talking to me. And so I turn around and there's this lady, and I don't know, for some reason she couldn't walk. So she was shopping in one of those hoverons, or what are they called? You know, yeah, where scooters, well, they drive you when you're in a store, right? And I'm like, I'm looking at her and she just keeps on, you know, telling me, and I'm like, okay, she's a prophet. She's a woman of God. She was sent here to prophesy to me. And at the end, I asked her, are you a Christian? She was like, oh, and like her whole thing just changed. Her voice, everything about her changed. She was like, oh, Dolly, no, I don't believe that stuff. I hate religion. She just went on and just left. And I'm standing there. I'm like, God, wow. You use somebody who was not even obedient, who can't even hear your voice, doesn't even want to hear your voice, and you use them to build me up. And he just, incidents like that just happened one after another to me. And one day I was washing my mirror. And this story is very personal to me. It's very emotional because it was real. God reached out and touched me. And I was washing my mirror, and then I heard him. I looked at myself, and I heard him. He said, and I... Okay, when I say I heard him, I don't want you all to be like, ooh. I heard him right in here. You know, I heard him loud and clear, and I felt him on my face. Not physically again, but I felt him touching my face. And he just went like this, and he was like, you see that nose right there? That nose. I tried my best. When I designed you in my head, I designed you with this nose. And when I was done with it, I stepped back and I was like, wow, no, I couldn't have done any better. This is perfect. And I looked at my nose. I'm like, it is perfect, Lord. Thank you for my nose. And then my hair was, at that time, I just didn't have time to do anything with it. So it was all curly and big. And he said, do you see this hair? Do you see right here? The reason it is looks the way it looks is because I took my finger and every single strand I wrapped around my finger. And that's why it's the texture that it is. And when I designed you and I planned you, this is exactly what I had in mind. And you're telling me this is not good enough? When I look at you, I see beauty. And he went through my whole body. It was so personal. It was so deep. And he touched every single part of me, the deepest part of me. And he said, you are just perfect the way you are. And you need to love yourself because I love you to death. I loved you to the point where I sent my son and I saw him die because I loved you and you're that perfect to me. And from that day on, I just started liking myself. And at that point, I was 200 pounds. I was not, you know, I was not accepted in beauty of this world. I was not accepted in magazine beauty, but I liked myself. I really enjoyed looking at myself and being like, yeah, I'm a creation. And see, what brought me satisfaction is not when I compared myself to the magazine, but when I stopped and I thought, how deeply is his love for me? And then that changed everything. That brought depth to who I am. And of course, don't let me get started on the gifts I have and talents I have, okay? Everything that's inside of me, I just got started to draw out. But it took a year. It took 1 year, 12 months, 365 days, right? 360, it took a year. Seriously, God, a year? But looking back, that year, the touch that I had in my life from God, the relationship that I had, the moments that I had with him, were one of the best moments that I can recall. I had a lot of amazing moments in worship, in my house, when we have night prayer, praying. But that year was just full of God speaking to me personally. And I cherish that year. But it took a year. Don't you give up today. It might take a year. It might take longer than that. But where are you going to go back to? Did Gomer, the prostitute, did she have a place to go back to that was better than her husband's house? Did she really? Yes, maybe she didn't see the results. She didn't see the change in herself. But she should have just stayed there. Well, this is not the end of the story, guys. Story goes on. God's love is unfailing. Hosea finds out, he is now at this point single father with kids by himself, who doesn't know what he's done wrong, what in the world did he do to her that she just left him like that. So he goes and searches for her. He finds out that now she is not a self-employed prostitute anymore. She is sold into slavery. Now she doesn't get any money for having sex. Now she doesn't get any money for getting beat up. She's somebody's slave. And at this point, she's a slave who doesn't cost much anymore. So back then, it would take around 30 pieces of silver to buy a slave out. When he came, when he saved up some money, he came to the owner, slave master of his wife. He said, I'll give you the money. Can I have my wife back? And he said, I'll give you her half price. 15 is enough. He said, yeah, go look. She's in one of those, you know, barns or whatever. He goes in and he sees his beautiful wife who doesn't look like herself anymore. She is indescribably beat up. She has sores and bruises all over her body. She doesn't have any curves left in her, only bones and skin. He picks her up and he brings her home. He sits her down and he said, honey, whatever. Please don't blame yourself. Please don't look back. Please don't think what you've done. I paid the price. I paid everything that was required. Nobody's going to be looking for you. Nobody's going to try to kill you. You are mine now, but please don't walk away. Can you please stay this time? I'll do anything for you. I've already done everything I could. Can you please just stay? Please stay with me. And so today I hear the voice of God speaking to us. Can you just please stay? Give me some time. I'm working. I'm not done yet. Don't look around and say nothing has changed. I am doing something. Can you just please give me a chance? Don't go back into that slavery when I have everything for you. Maybe you'll never get a miracle. Maybe you'll never get a chance to see your life change like that. But what God promised was grace. And grace is power and ability to lead you through whatever you're going to go. Grace is a promise that you're not going to be working alone. If you do your part, He's right there with you, working so mightily in your life. I'll take grace over a miracle. Miracles are awesome. But just like my coffee story and any other stories that I've heard somebody receive the miracle of stomach sickness, they were healed, but they went back to the old lifestyle, eating and drinking alcohol and nothing. They got it back. I'll take healing. I'll take grace. I'll take that grace that will lead me step by step and know that He's working on me and He will never give up. His love is unfailing and there is nothing I can do to push Him away. And so I don't know if today this is your first time you ever stepped your foot into a church and heard that some God that you don't really care about loves you and it touched you. Why would somebody love me and die for me? Or maybe you've been in church for years, maybe decades, and you just were deceived and somebody promised you that in the world out there is much better and you went off. His love is unfailing. Gomer, she was a prostitute when Hosea found her. But when he went to get her for the second time, she was an adulteress. First time, she was just a prostitute who was taken away from her environment. Second time, she was a cheater. And so I can't tell you how many times I felt like, God, I've cheated on you way too much. There's no way you can restore me and bring me back and make me into who I'm supposed to be. And he says, I don't care about all that. I love you. I love you, and that doesn't matter to me. My love never stops. And that's why I drew you near, because my love never stops. I loved you with an unfailing love. And there's nothing you can do about it today. Keep the light down. Nothing you can do to lessen that love. I know God is calling somebody today. Can we just all close our eyes? If your heart is beating and really fast and you can hear it in your head and you can hear His voice, He's calling you. And all you have to say is just forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for all of my sin. Take it away and wash me clean and give me your righteousness. I receive your love. I know I don't deserve it, but I receive it, Lord. And I thank you so much for not giving up for me. And I thank you so much for being so patient with me and so loving and blessing me and protecting me even in the times when I didn't ask you to. Lord, help me not to give up. Help me to thick and through thin just to trust you and understand that you are working in my life and you are taking your time, and I'm so grateful, Lord. It doesn't take much than that. It doesn't take much more. You just have to receive Him into your heart and receive the forgiveness and receive His love, and you're saved forever. So if you've prayed the prayer today, it happened in your heart, I want you to go and share with somebody. Go and tell somebody. Say, listen, I received Jesus today. I renewed my relationship with Jesus. I trusted my life with, into his hands. And then the next step would be to get baptized and invite all of your friends, invite all of your family and say, watch it, everybody. Watch out. I belong to Jesus now. I have the power. And I'm going to use it. And I'm not afraid to use it. Amen. Clap somebody. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the lights probably can go on already. And I am done. I just pray that we all go home and we don't leave everything that God was speaking to us today. We take it home and we treasure it. And we plant it and we protect it so it grows and brings forth fruit. Amen.